So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're doing a series, if you're here for the first time, called The Island of Misfit Toys. It comes from Rudolph. Have you watched Rudolph yet this year? You need to get with it, y'all. Watch Rudolph. It comes from that movie. A bunch of toys that something's wrong with all the toys, right? There's like a train with square wheels. There's a water gun that shoots jelly. There's all kinds of things, right? I think there's a boat that sinks and a bird that swims. And anyway, it's all crazy. An ostrich. There's stuff in there. And they're all stuck on this island called the Island of Misfit Toys. What's interesting is that island is ruled and watched over by a lion. Does that sound like anybody we know? Jesus, right? As a matter of fact, and I'll just shout out to Pastor Tori. There you are. She when we were talking about this series, she watched it, and then she sent me this, like, you know, it's going to be a good text when it says, "Forgive me for how long this is." And it was, but it was great, and it was like all the things that she watched it that just stood out to her. And one of the things that stood out to her was that the lion goes every night looking for misfit toys to bring the toys to the island so that he can watch over them. Man, that's beautiful, right? And what I want you to see today is, I said this last week, we're all misfits. Some of us feel more like misfits than others. Like, you ever been around somebody who acts like they've got it all together, but you actually know that they don't? It's like, I just want to be in the room when they figure it out, right? We're all misfits. Just some of us are more aware of the ways that we maybe don't feel like we fit in. But I want you to know this, that we're all on an island together, and we have a lion, a king who watches over us, who takes care of us, and as we're going to see as we go through this month, is looking to place us where he can use us the most. We started this last week, and this week we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Each of these weeks, I'm not sure what Seth will do next week, but for me, because Christmas, like, what else can we add to the story, right? This is when Christmas and Easter are the times that pastors start saying, like, I don't want to be cute. I don't want to come up with something new. Just help me creatively tell the gospel, right? Talk about what we all already know. And so this morning and last week, all I want to do is give you one point. And I know what you're thinking. If you only have one point, this could be a really short sermon. It might be, right? I got one point, and I've got some scriptures to help drive that point home. And here is your big idea. This is the thing I want you to know, is that we were not taken by default. We're chosen by design. We're not taken by default. We're chosen by design. I can relate to that big idea. I joke about this all the time, but I was actually never picked in gym class to be on a team. I was always the one that was taken by default, because everybody else was picked, and so somebody would say, give me Jenkins, right? That was how I got on teams. They didn't actually want me. I was just the last one available, and so they got me by default. What I want you to see today is that you are not taken by default. You have been chosen by the King by design. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 29. God chose, here we go. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. He chose foolish things, right? He chose the despised things. He says the things that are not, we would call that invisible. These are the things that he chose. Foolish, weak, lowly, despised, the things that are invisible, that are not. He intentionally chose those things. And he chose those things to do something with them. He has a purpose. He has a plan. It is intentional. You have not been taken by default. You have been chosen by design. I looked into the Greek word for that, for chose, and here's what it means. It means chosen. It means to be picked out. It means to be taken, chosen for an office. So in Luke chapter 9, 35, it talks about how he picked people out. He was called for something. It means choosing of one out of many. Luke chapter 6, 13 talks about how Jesus went on the mountaintop and he prayed all night long. And then when he got done praying, he came back down off the mountaintop. And it says this, he gathered all of his disciples together. And then he chose out of those disciples 12. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I always thought that the disciples were the 12, right? But when you read that, there were a whole lot of people that were following Jesus. So it'd be like me looking at this huge crowd right here, and then I pick out 1, 2, 3, 4. I choose them out. It reminds me of my favorite part of weddings that I do is when I give the rings to the bride and the groom. And I had them repeat things after me, but my favorite line in the ceremony is something along I put on Wendy's finger and I say, Wendy, remember that I have chosen you among all women to share in my life and love. I mean, stop and think about it. Right? When you're getting married, can you imagine somebody proposing to you like this? I've asked a lot of people. I really hope this goes better than the last 500 times. Will you marry me? Who's saying yes to that? Right? There's something intentional. You, especially now, you plan the proposal. You pay friends or a stranger to video and take pictures of said proposal. You check the weather to make sure it's not going to mess up your plans. You might have to book hotels if you're doing. There's still destination weddings. Now there's destination proposals. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's awesome. You put a lot of effort into it, so you're not just haphazardly finding some, hey, listen, I've got this proposal planned, and I need somebody to be the person I'm asking. So I know we just met, but could you be a part of this? Because I got this food, I've got the photographer, I've got everything. I just need somebody to fill in this. No. He chose us. Jesus chose the 12 out of the many. He had a reason for picking them. He's got a reason for picking you. That should make us sit up a little bit straighter, right? He wants us. He chose us. That word for in the Greek is literally, I see you, I'm picking you for a purpose. Let me give you a couple examples of people that he's used in Scripture. Just think about this. He chose Moses, right? If you know the story of Moses, you know that Moses had a hard time talking. And he chose him. Not to write a message, but to speak it. And so Moses is like, what? He chose him. He chose the shepherds. This is my favorite part of the Christmas story. Probably because I'm a pastor. But I love that he chose to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus. The fact that he was bringing peace to earth. That he was coming. Here comes heaven. That's an amazing song. And he chose to tell that message. We talk about this all the time, how shepherds are like the most despised group. They're like the... If you're here and you're part of this group, I don't mean any offense by this, but they're like the DMV workers of our culture, right? Like, nobody's happy to see shepherds showing up, right? Like, they were dirty. They smelled bad. They're, like, out on a hill. And that's a beautiful thing to think about. Like, God chose that group to tell first. Now, because I'm a pastor and pastors are called to do what with the sheep? Shepherd. What encourages me is that the people that heard the good news first were shepherds keeping watch over their flock at night. Not when everybody was watching, Not when all people like applauding you, oh, good job, pastor. But when it's dark, when it's cold, when you've been on that hill so many other nights, but you kept coming back. Those are the people who heard the good news first. He chooses the weak things of the world, the foolish things of the world. He chose us, y'all. Now, I could say that's just about me because I'm your pastor, except he's called all of us to shepherd people. And you're shepherding some people, right? They might be a three-year-old. You're like, I'm going to shepherd you. Bend over. It might be an adult child. It could be people where you work. There are people that God's placed in your life, and he's called you to watch over them, and he rewards faithfulness with good news. He chose you to be there. He chose a teenage girl. We got any teenage girls here? A teenage girl who probably, if she had keys, would not be able to find them. And he chose her to carry his son. All the parents in the room that have teenagers are like, what were you doing, God? Right? He chose a poor carpenter, her boyfriend. And Joseph gets left out of the story so much. But if you're here and you've ever adopted a child, if you're here and you've ever married into a family that became a blended family, and your spouse had previous children with a previous spouse, and you love them as your own, you're starting to touch on a little bit of what Joseph felt, right? And he raised the Son of God. And he wasn't even a son. He chose that. God chose to use Joseph. And as amazing as those are, can we just blow our minds and say this? He chose you and he chose me. Look at the person next to you. I mean, really make it awkward. Go ahead. He chose them. He's choosing them. He has a purpose and a plan for them. And we're the ones that look at them and go, are you sure, God? And they're looking at us going, same thing, right? He's chosen to use us. I think that's funny because I've not hidden this from you guys at all. We joke about how much I sweat. I'm getting better, right? When I was in high school and in college, if I had to do a book report, if I had to present anything in front of people, literally, it would look like I stepped out of the shower when I was done. I mean, I can still remember presenting something as I felt and watched sweat roll down my nose and just hang right there. It's awkward when you're trying to talk to people about next slide, please. It's weird. Like, you. That was me in high school. That was me in college. Some of you are like, sometimes that's you on Sunday. And what does he ask me to do? Hey, Paul, I got an idea. I'd like for you to be a communicator. I'm sorry, what? I'd like you to hold a microphone and stand in front of people. People? Yeah, people that need to hear the good news. I'm choosing you. Are you sure, God? Because, like, I never got picked in gym class. Sure you're talking to the right person? Me? And all of us could have a story like that. All of us have been called by God to tasks that we feel like we cannot do. And the reason is because he chooses the foolish things of the world so that the smart people that think they should have gotten picked will look at what he does through you and me and go, there's no way you pulled that off. And then we'll be the ones going, you're exactly right. I have no idea how that happened, except that I have a God who works in mysterious ways through mysterious people so that things that happen can only bring him praise. You're not taken by default. You're chosen by design. A couple more scriptures. Turn to 2 Corinthians. You know, God doesn't owe us an explanation, right? He doesn't have to tell us why he does what he does. And so it's awesome when he does, when he shares in Scripture the reason behind things that he's doing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is praying. He's talking about how he's had these amazing experiences, but he's also talking about how there's this thorn in his flesh is what he calls it, and he hates it, right? And, you know, Bible scholars will talk about what it could be. I've heard people say, like, he had bad eyesight, and maybe if you've ever had bad eyesight and lost your glasses, maybe that would feel like a thorn in the flesh. Some people think he just was, he didn't like talking to people. He was much better writing. He didn't necessarily want to come. In one of his letters, he says, pray for me that when I come to you, I can speak to you with as much boldness as I have written to you, right? I can relate to that. But whatever it was, we know that Paul didn't like it because he says in verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Have you ever done that? Like, God, please, just get rid of this. I'm not trying to make today about me, right? I'm just trying to be, I want you to have some things that you can hold on to and like relatable things that maybe it'll be a different thing for you. But for me, like, I've always struggled with just like this little touch of Tourette's, like these tics, these vocal tics, these like visual facial tics. And I can remember many times growing up just like laying in bed at night and saying, like, I didn't really want to die. I was like, God, I would love just one day of peace without feeling what I'm feeling and it manifesting in my body the way it does and without feeling like people are looking at me weird. And then I became a pastor and I get to do it in front of people. Right? And it's like, God, I would just give anything for just a day, a night, an hour. Sleep is awesome, right? Because you're just asleep and there's shalom. I can get where Paul says, I didn't ask, I begged. Please, God, take it away. And what is the Lord's response? But he said to me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, we applaud that verse, but if you really break it down, what he's saying is, I'm going to need you to be the fool. I'm going to need you to be willing to be the lowly one that I chose, the foolish one that I chose. I'm going to need you to trust me, Paul. I'm going to need you to trust me, gathering, that when Paul says it's Big Give Sunday and you look at your bank account and you're like, I got big bills. Can I give you those? I don't have a lot, but here's what I do have. He calls us to play the fool by participating with him in the way that he chooses to reach people for the kingdom. And one of the ways he does it is through generosity. When people who have nothing give more than they could. As a matter of fact, I don't have time to go into it today. I wrote about it in this last week's newsletter. The fact that he would highlight the Macedonian church and talk about how their great giving when they had great poverty is what God used to reach people. Paul highlights that in Scripture about a church who was poor but gave with great generosity. Again, spoiler alert or sneak preview at January, we're not talking about people that are just tipping the king. They're just saying, well, that's pretty good. Here's $5. It's better than last week when I gave a dollar. This is like generosity. This is like, how can I partner with the king in the kingdom to reach people? That's what he uses people to do. And sometimes just we feel like we have nothing to give. And he says, I can work with that. I don't need the person who thinks they've got the big bank account that can fund everything. I'll use them, but what I really want to do is I want to use people in such a way that they would never be able to take the credit for it. And that's what he does here every single year at the Big Give. So we look around the room and go, who gave a lot of money? We can't figure it out. But somehow it all comes in. And we get to go help people with that money. And they say, who gave all that money? And we're like, we don't really know. God. Because he chooses weak things to display his glory. Now, how does that truth affect Paul? The man who was begging God to take away the thorn in the flesh. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So, in church, what do we typically do? Put on a mask, right? We smile. People say, how's it going? Fine. I'm fine. And what Paul just wrote about there, what the Holy Spirit's telling us is, when we do that, God's power comes off of us. But the way his power rests on us, come rest on us. Come rest on. We sing that song, we get into it, we start clapping while we're wearing a mask. That song's never going to happen. Because his power doesn't rest on fake. His power rests on real. When I boast of my weakness, Christ's power can rest on me. That's what we see in the Island of Misfit Toys. Right? These toys that felt like they were just thrown away, forgotten. There's no use for me at all. What we see is, no, there's actually, there's a lion, there's a creator, there's a God who has chosen them by design to use them in his plan. And that's what I want to encourage you with this morning. You're chosen. You are chosen. Can we picture that as we wrap this up? God is looking over this whole room. And he's landing on you. Me? Are you pointing at me? Yeah. And the crazy thing about the kingdom of God is every single one of us can have the same experience at the exact same time. He's looking at all of us. And he's like, I have something for you. I've got something for you to do. Only you can do it. I could pick other people, but I'm picking you. Let's go. And what do we do with God? Well, I don't know what you do. I do my Moses thing, the long list of reasons why he made the wrong choice. And he's like, Paul, I already knew all that. Remember, I'm God. I saw all that. I'm still picking you. And the only logical answer is yes. Yes, God, I will do it. I will not wait for the perfect conditions. I will not wait until that thorn in my flesh is gone. I will do it now. I will say yes, and I will obey. And people might call me strange, right? They might, like we were talking earlier about strange things that we do in our families, strange traditions. They might call you strange. And nowadays, if people call me foolish, as long as it's not that I'm, you know what acting a fool means, right? I mean, we're not talking about just being a fool to be a fool. But like when the world looks at us, y'all, when they look at an authentic display of Christianity, the culture that we're living in now is not always going to applaud that. They're going to be like, wait, what? That's weird. And we have to be okay with that. Hey, God, use me. I will play the fool so that your power can be displayed. We're not taken by default. We're chosen by design. Which brings us to the big give. God chooses us intentionally, right? It's not an accident. Everything has a purpose. And this morning, I'm calling you to intentional generosity in the big give. We might have more families submitted this year than in any previous year, which is not a surprise. How many of you can feel the economic crunch? Raise your hand. Oh, okay. Good. It's just three of us, so giving will be way up this month. We've got nonprofits in our area that we want to support. And in all of it, we use this phrase a lot, like we move at the speed of your generosity. We can only do in the big give with what's given in the big give, right? This is an offering that 100% goes to all those needs. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, as I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we're going to play some music, and we're going to throw that QR code up, and we're just going to end the morning by giving, right? Whatever you can give, and God will add it all up, and it'll be awesome. I want to say thank you to you for being generous. In years past, this offering has always blown us away. And we really don't go into this offering with any kind of a goal. We just say, hey, God, whatever your people give, we'll take it and we'll use it. And so thank you for being generous, and thank you for doing what you can do. And my prayer is that just as God has said intentionally to you, I want to pick you and set you apart for a purpose, that you would also begin to live a life of intentionality. Again, I don't want to get too far ahead. We'll do a lot of this in January. But I do believe that when it comes to stewardship, the church does not do a good job. I think the church does this. Hey, God, if I have anything left over, I'll give that to you. And that's thank you. I mean, sometimes you ever eat leftovers at home? Sometimes they're good. Usually they're not. Maybe God feels the same way about our stewardship. Maybe he's like, I don't know. What if you trusted me and honored me first? What if you didn't tip me? What if you gave before the meal, right? So I'm calling you to be intentional today with whatever amount you can be intentional. And we're going to pray right now, ask God to bless it and all the stuff. And then when I say amen, we can do that. QR code can go there. And it'll be there. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have chosen us. I know I need to end this prayer quickly so we can be generous, but I'm just going to ask you to take a minute, y'all, and just marinate on that truth. God chose us. I could use way bigger words. I have a master's. I can do all that stuff. But why would we want to make that hard to understand? Just let it sink in. He chose you. He chose you and me. God, why would you do that? We know ourselves. It's because, God, you're looking for vessels that will display your glory. And today we say we will be those vessels. We will display your glory. And I pray, God, as we give this morning, that you would be glorified in it. I love when I read Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, I love the way that you word it, Jesus, that when we do good things, that people will see it and they will praise you. And so I pray that this morning, what we do in the big give would not make any sense to anybody in this room. We would all be blown away by what happens because we know ourselves. We're just the foolish of the world asking you to use us. But I pray that outside these walls, what is given today in the big give would be good works that result in our city actually giving you praise. That this would be something that points people to Jesus. We thank you for it. Bless it, God. Multiply it. Do with this offering what you did with the fish and the loaves. And make it go a lot farther than we ever thought our money could. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.